You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good Monday to you, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman, filling in once again for regular host Mark King. Mark has several projects that he is currently working on, and he graciously has asked for me to step in and host in his place this week, and of course I was definitely more than happy to accept. I've been here before. I hosted a week back in December and also have joined Mark for a few segments earlier this year. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Grizzlies. You can follow Mark at King_producer. And you can also follow me, Sean Coleman, at Stats SAC. That's at STATS. SAC. In today's episode, we're going to dive right in to looking back at the weekend. A weekend full of action. Two games. One Saturday, one Sunday for the Grizzlies. Beating the Mavericks in great style on Saturday. And then, of course, a heartbreaking loss to the Thunder last night. In the second segment, got some really good questions from the Monday mailbag, basically discussing some recent topics that you've seen on if you follow along on Grizzlies Twitter, and also obviously some happenings with the trade deadline. And in the third segment, we will dive into trying to identify this new roster with the new additions and the influence and the impact that they're having. We're going to talk specifically about how the pieces that the Grizzlies got at the trade deadline, how they are impacting the team, and what the team looks like with those new pieces now having been in place for almost a month. But getting to the weekend's games, obviously the Grizzlies had the big win over the Lakers last Monday, and then of course they also had the close game to the Bulls on Wednesday, and then we got a little bit of a break, a much-needed break. The Grizzlies have been dealing with some injuries and things such as that. While there really hasn't been a change overall on the injury side of things, you know, it's never a bad thing to be able to have a bit of a break. So going into Saturday night, obviously, it was a big game. And the reason why that is because, as was expected, the Grizzlies said at the trade deadline that their goal was to convey. Well, so far, those efforts have not really, the results have not matched the effort that seems to be there. We've had losses, inexplicable losses, in my opinion, to Cleveland. We should beat the Bulls. But, you know, we made up for it by getting a win against the Lakers last Monday. Well, Saturday night may have been the Grizzlies' best game with their new roster in place since the trade deadline. It was a 111-81 victory over the Dallas Mavericks. And the crazy thing was that this was probably one of Mike Conley's worst offensive games that he has had in quite a while. He only scored 12 points, was 3 of 10 shooting, was plus 1 in the plus-minus range. But beyond that, it was the new players that stepped up. Avery Bradley, Jonas Valanciunas, both of them had plus-minus marks above 20. And the Grizzlies bench also really provided a spark, as they have Javon Carter. May have had his best offensive game to date. So it was a team effort, and that's the thing that, you know, we've been hoping this Grizzlies roster would start to find its groove in. We would hope that, you know, if Conley ever did either sit out like he did Sunday night, or if he had a bad game. Overall, it was a pretty disappointing weekend from Conley, but this team stepped up against a roster with Dallas that probably has equal to, maybe a little bit less talent, and they just played great defense, or played great overall basketball. The offense has certainly picked up, but the defense was the big story for the Grizzlies on Saturday night. The Grizzlies did not have one player who played in the game Saturday who had a defensive rating over 100. What we mean by that is that out of every 100 possessions, when a certain player is on the court, how many points are being scored for every 100 possessions they're on the court? And the Grizzlies, the worst defensive rating they had that night was Tyler Dorsey in his 9 minutes of play at a 95. So it was an overall, probably one of the better team defensive performances the Grizzlies have had over the past 2 years, and it was just a dominating victory. Obviously, Luka Doncic still had his, you know, impact. He scored 22 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. But this was a butt whooping, and it was something, you know, that the Grizzlies fans have not been used to over the past 3.5 months. But it was a great night. It was a good victory. You know, beyond seeing, you know, Luka here in Memphis, the Grizzlies definitely stepped up, and that's something that, you know, a strong takeaway from this game. The new roster that's in place, the argument was clear, and it was valid, that the new roster that was in place after the trade deadline versus the roster the Grizzlies had in place before the deadline, this roster was better. You know, yeah, it may not have, you know, Marc Gasol and Temple and, you know, Green, but it had more offensively focused players. And also, players that would be able to play at a faster pace. On the fly, the Grizzlies modernized their roster to be able to stay with teams and you know, pick up the pace. And that's what's happened. They have been able to really focus on being competitive, being able to you know, get on runs offensively to where they can stay with other teams who may get hot at certain times. But this was an encouraging showing by the Grizzlies. We had all really been waiting for this team to gel to where they could play good team defense, and it definitely seemed to be in place. And again, as stated, yes, Joakim Noah again had another great game, 12 points, 7 rebounds, you know, and 5 assists. But just overall, everybody seemed to play good complementary basketball to where as a team, they were able to dominate, like I say, a similarly talented roster in the Mavericks. As we headed into Sunday, news started to come out that, you know, as we went to Oklahoma City, Mike Conley probably would not play. And it made sense, second half of a back-and-back, giving him a couple of days rest before the Trailblazers game on Tuesday. Really made sense, you know, especially with Paul George being out for the Thunder, that the Grizzlies would, you know, take the opportunity to give Conley a game off and really wanted to see what this team could do without its one true relevant, you know, quality talent. And the Grizzlies didn't disappoint. I'll be completely honest. If you compared the last time when we went to Oklahoma City, which was the night of the trade deadline, to tonight's game, this team definitely played well. They had the lead for most of the game. One thing that I think was also clear was that the Thunder, especially without Paul and George being in the lineup, the Thunder just looked disinterested for the first 42 minutes of the game. They just basically, their goal was to keep it close, not really to put forth any effort. Russell Westbrook was just kind of coasting. And then with about 6 minutes left with the Grizzlies up 89-76, Russell Westbrook just took off. I think that he had 14 of the last 22 points. He contributed to, I believe, around 90% of the Thunder's 23-8 run to end the game. 23-6 run that they ended on the game with, and that's basically what occurred. The takeaway from this weekend is you got a complete 180, but a full circle spectrum of the Grizzlies as a whole. The new roster that's in place is a team that has the offense to be able to play with and beat the middle to lower tier of NBA teams in the league. This team has been competitive, as they should be, with their offense and now with their shooting ability and with their pace of play. And when the defense finally does come together, they have an advantage. I had mentioned on the 3&D podcast with Justin Lewis before the Mavericks game that in the 7 games that the new roster had been in place, they had 47 more shots than their opposition, and they had 26 more turnovers. So this team is not only picking up the pace, but they're being more efficient. The roster in place is giving the Grizzlies a chance to win, and against less talented teams, those extra possessions are going to be easier to convert. We saw that on Saturday against the Mavericks. So that basically was the ceiling of where this team is. They can take on a lower talent team and they can dominate them. On Sunday night, though, you got a reality check. The Grizzlies were competitive. They were dominating the game. She probably should have won the game. But even without their best player this year, when the Thunder locked down on defense and the best talent in the game, took over on Russell Westbrook, the Grizzlies had absolutely no answer. Even when if Conley would have been in the game, they would not have had an answer. And that's not a knock on the Grizzlies. It's just a matter of reality. And it's a matter of the it's a matter of fact that shows that the likelihood of us conveying probably is getting less and less with each day due to the fact that since we're not winning the games that we should against the Bulls and against the Cavaliers, we're going to have to pull some upsets. And it's going to be hard to do that when at the end of the game, the other team has the best talent. But, you know, after the loss to the Thunder and the win against the Mavericks, I just think the takeaway from this weekend is that you got to see both the ceiling and the realistic floor of the Grizzlies. Again, I think an overall theme with this team is that through their effort and now through their offensive game, they can stay competitive and stay in the game. But you're going to get a whole lot of game narratives where the Grizzlies were there for most of the game, but at the end of the day, the better talents took over, and it led to the Grizzlies, you know, losing by a couple of points. So overall, pretty good weekend of basketball. Glad to see the rest of the team stepping up in the absence of Conley. But a 1-1 overall record with the expected win over Dallas, the expected loss to the Thunder, I think pretty much is helping this team to gain its identity. And even though the offense is better, I think overall the level of talent on this team is pretty much the same as it has been through all the losing that's occurred over the past several months. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dive into the mailbag, some good questions in regards to players that came over from the trade deadline, and I really look forward to getting some answers to some great questions from some listeners. We'll be right back with you on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Thanks again for joining us here today on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman, again filling in for regular host Mark King. And we wanted to dive right into the Monday mailbag. And I'll compliment Mark and thank y'all as the listeners since I last hosted back in December. This part of the show, this Monday mailbag, has been probably one of the parts of the show that I enjoy the most, and the reason why is because y'all are providing great questions, and it adds to the show. It gives us the chance to add to the overall content of the podcast, and also gives us the chance to interact with y'all and feature y'all's opinions and takes on the Grizzlies, so we can't thank y'all enough. As I've mentioned in the past, or in this show itself already, The blog Grizzly Bear Blues does have an overall influence on this show. Mark himself writes for the blog. I myself am a writer there. We have regular weekly guest, Joe Molinax, who is the site manager. But the reason why I mention that is because the first question centers on the opinions of another former Grizzly Bear Blue writer, Matt Herdlicka. You can follow him on Twitter at TheRealHerdlicka. I've not interacted or met Matt before, but I can certainly say he's one of my favorite Grizzlies follows due to his opinions and analysis. And the first question today is a listener who references Matt's comments over the weekend on Avery Bradley. In a nutshell, Matt basically said that Avery Bradley has been one of the worst players in the NBA this season. And that certainly is a stark contrast in opinion of what Grizzlies fans have of Avery Bradley since he's become a Memphis Grizzly at the trade deadline. And the listener's question is this: with how well Bradley is playing on offense, where should analytics and statistics come into play when trying to judge the overall value or how much Bradley contributes, you know, to the Grizzlies' success? My answer to that is this: it simply comes down to perception versus reality, like a lot of player assessments and things like that usually do. What I'm meaning specifically is this, is that the perception of Avery Bradley definitely should be positive at this point in time. There's no doubt he is adding value on offense. He's making shots consistently. He's been a consistent offensive scoring threat along with Mike Conley on the perimeter. And the Grizzlies offense as a whole, it's more efficient. It's producing higher levels of quality. And it, to be honest, it's simply fun to watch. The thing about it is, though, is that it is a perception more than it is a reality that Bradley is going to be able to keep this level of play up. The value that Grizzlies fans have of Avery Bradley, the level that they of a player they feel he is likely much higher in their minds than reality would support. And what I mean by that is this. A lot of Bradley's value right now as a player is inflated, and it's inflated by two factors. Number one, he's filling a void on the Grizzlies that has not been there, it seems like, for years, and that's outside scoring. Yes, we've had players that have stepped up, but they've not stepped up game in and game out like Bradley has over the past month, and certainly not to the level that he has produced over the past month. That means that, yes, while he is certainly valuable, it's more based on the void that he is filling than him as an actual player. And that brings me to my second point, in that there is a very strong likelihood that right now Avery Bradley is simply on a hot streak. This is not the type of player that Avery Bradley is over the long haul, and statistics seem to support that. For his career, Avery Bradley has taken 65% of his shots from 16 feet from the basket and beyond. For his career, Bradley has made 41% of his two-point jump shots beyond 16 feet. He's made 36% of his threes. In his time as a Grizzly, Bradley has made 52% of his two-point jump shots beyond 16 feet and 43% of his threes. So going from making 41% of his two-pointers and 36% of his three-pointers to 53% of his two-pointers and 43% of his three-pointers, what you're doing is you're shifting from a player who is a below-average starter, decent bench piece, to a player who's producing on an offensive level that's near all-star capability. And I don't think anybody, you know, who knows the game is going to all of a sudden label Avery Bradley as an all-star. What I'm getting at is it's Avery Bradley has not all of a sudden morphed into an offensive dynamo. He simply right now is riding a hot streak on offense, and the statistics I just gave seem to prove that. It's very similar to how Garrett Temple and Shelvin Mack played at the beginning of this year. The Grizzlies got off to a 12-5 start, were atop the Western Conference, and right before Thanksgiving, and a big reason why was because of the play of Mack and Temple. However, statistics showed that Temple and Mack were playing above their heads. They basically were making shots at rates that were not sustainable. And when folks started looking at the statistics, there started to be an understanding that, hey, eventually Mack and Temple would regress, and the Grizzlies' play overall likely would as well. And as we've seen, that's exactly what happened. I think that there is a setup here to where Bradley is likely to do the same. And that's just on the offensive end. We haven't even discussed his defense. And that was the main part of Matt's point. Right now, Bradley is playing at likely an unsustainable rate of offensive production. However, despite how well he's playing on offense, every point he scores on offense basically is given up by him on defense. Yes, Bradley is a former all-defensive first-teamer in the NBA, but with his size and with his style of defense now, where he plays right up on his man, he simply does not have the athleticism anymore to keep his man in front of him a lot of times. And what that causes is it causes the other Grizzlies players to have to leave their assignments to come help Bradley. Thus, if you have an offensive opposition that can move the ball, the Grizzlies are going to be in trouble, and they have been. So to get to Matt's overall point that I agree with is that, yes, you certainly should not devalue how well Bradley has played on offense. He certainly has been a great addition to the Grizzlies. He's helped them be competitive. He's helped them. It's made it more fun to watch him play, and certainly has made them more offensively effective. But overall, as well as he has played, number one, it's unlikely it's going to be sustained. And as shots that he's making now start to fall less and less, such as has happened in his career, Bradley is likely going to lose a lot of his perceived value because on defense, he is a liability that's hard to overcome unless he's playing high-quality offense. So at the end of the day, no matter how well Bradley is playing on offense, his defensive play really is struggling, and so he likely is still more of a net liability than positive when he's on the court. The second question is in regards to another trade piece that the Grizzlies got at the deadline, Jonas Valanciunas. A listener asked, you know, how does Jonas Valanciunas compare to Marc Gasol? And in terms of Jaren Jackson Jr. and Jonas Valanciunas, you know, can they play together or are they better off playing separately at the center position? And just in a quick assessment, the answer to that is this. Right now, in terms of where they are in their careers, Jonas Valanciunas is a better player than Marc Gasol. He's just simply more effective. That's got nothing to do with Mark, but you're talking about a 26-year-old Jonas Valanciunas versus a 34-year-old in Marc Gasol. In terms of NBA life, you've got a player before his prime and a player basically who is entering his twilight years. With that being said, I also think that Jonas Valanciunas' perceived value in Grizzlies fans' eyes is a bit inflated for a similar reason like Avery Bradley's is. Jonas Valanciunas is filling a role that Grizzlies fans have wanted since Zach Randolph played here. He is a low post threat both on offense and defense that can provide blocks, he can provide rebounds, he provides a physical element to the Grizzlies scheme as well that allows for them to have an effective presence down low. And the thing is that, you know, Grizzlies fans, you know, have asked more of that from Mark for years. Valanciunas and Mark are two players who are of similar size, yet their games could not be more contrasting. Mark is more of the European style, where he's more of a facilitator on offense. He's a jump shooter. He's not that strong of a rebounder, whereas Jonas very much is a strong rebounder, very much is a presence at the rim, both on offense and defense. And so Grizzlies fans, rightfully, have this perception that Jonas is being effective because he's a true big man and probably the best low post presence that we've seen, best rebounding presence that we've seen since Zach Randolph. And the thing I'm getting at is that, yes, while Jonas is better than Mark right now, I find it hard to believe that anybody would actually say Jonas is at a better point in his career than Mark has ever been. I don't think Jonas will ever reach the level that Mark has in terms of their overall career accolades and productions. So to answer the question, yes, right now Jonas is the better player, but I think it's more because of the role that he's filling than saying he actually is playing at a level higher than Marc Gasol ever played. Getting to the question in regards to how does he fit with Jaren Jackson Jr., I think they fit well. When Jackson Jr. and Jonas play together, the value Jonas provides is that he helps to negate the weaknesses in Jaren Jackson Jr.'s game. The two things Jaren Jackson Jr. is working on are his fouls and his rebounds. That's one thing Jonas is actually very good at. He's a very efficient player, doesn't get into a lot of foul trouble, and he also rebounds. So I feel like they complement each other well. And I also think that it gives the Grizzlies roster versatility. Do you want to play them each 40 minutes a game together? Probably not, especially with the fact that with the NBA going to smaller ball lineups, you probably want to feature Jaren at the five with a smaller lineup, such as Kyle at the four and three guards or, you know, whatever combination you come up with. But it doesn't really necessarily come down to how well they play together and, you know, will they play together, you know, over long stretches. It's just more the fact that overall right now, both Jonas and Jaren are two of the best five talents you have on this roster. And so, yes, you certainly would like to see a future with them on it. As I stated, they could play together. They could give you multiple looks depending on how the game is going. And for a team like the Grizzlies who need as much of an advantage and talent as they can get, I truly do think that that combination is something that the Grizzlies may explore investing in, and they would be wise to explore investing in as time goes on. So overall, right now, I would say Jonas is better than Mark. I don't think Jonas will ever reach a level that Mark had at the peak of his career, but I do think that Jonas is a better complement to Jaren Jackson Jr. than Marc Gasol was, and I certainly could see a future. I think it would be great for the Grizzlies' future if they invested in the Jonas-Jaren combination. We'll be right back here in a second to finish up this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Welcome back as we finish up this Monday edition of Locked On Grizzlies. Again, my name is Sean Coleman filling in for Mark King. Last segment, to finish up today's show, last segment, I think was a nice way to segue into trying to discover the overall identity of the Grizzlies now that they have their new roster in place. And you know, we talked about the two players that have really stood out of the haul that the Grizzlies got at the trade deadline, and Avery Bradley and Jonas Valanciunas. And I want to point out that I actually am happy with the Grizzlies front office. because I think that the identity that this team has taken on with this new roster proves that the plan the front office had at the trade deadline is coming to fruition. The thing is that the Grizzlies, whether you want to agree with it or not, they felt the best move for the franchise was to bring in talent in the present that could help them win and that could help them convey their pick to Boston. While I generally agree with that assessment, we should do all that we can to convey the pick to Boston this year in a weaker draft. I had been an advocate for getting some returns for the players that we traded that focus more on the future, but that's a story for another time. The overall plan for the Grizzlies to improve their roster through their moves, I think the front office basically did well with. They brought in talents that would make the offense more efficient, that would give us more versatility, that would allow for us to pick up the pace of our play, and that overall would just make us a better team offensively. And it is shown. The Grizzlies are playing better offense. They are competitive they are competitive most nights. They're able to hit shots from the outside. With this team in place before the game against the Mavericks on Saturday, they were producing at an offensive rating of 108 versus the 104.3 they had been at, which was last in the league. So, yes, this team, this roster, has taken on the identity of being a more offensively competent team. And we're a team that can stay competitive. We can even stay with more talented teams due to the fact that with Jonas Valanciunas, we can beat you inside. Joakim Noah has stepped up to be an offensive presence as well. And then also now we've got the outside shooters, which we haven't had in the while. Avery Bradley, CJ Miles, obviously Mike Conley. But the problem is that the reason why, even though we've become better on offense, it still really has not made that much of a difference in terms of our overall record, is because one thing the Grizzlies front office did not bank on was injuries to Jaren Jackson Jr. and Kyle Anderson. And I think it just shows the significance of those two players and the reason why they logically are the cornerstones of our future. Jaren Jackson Jr. and Kyle Anderson are wonderful defensive presences. And it's not just because of their skill set. It's just because of their natural body composition. Both of them are long and lean defenders. While yes, Kyle Anderson certainly has limited athleticism, his intelligence allows for him to be disruptive on the perimeter, while Jaren Jackson Jr.'s athleticism and intelligence allows for him to be a disruption in the low block. When you have those two layers of defensive presences, they do very well in hiding the flaws of the other players that are on the court. And that was the overall picture that the Grizzlies front office had in mind. They wanted to get some complementary offensive pieces to make our offense as a whole better than it was before the deadline and be able to rely on Kyle Anderson and Jaren Jackson on defense to keep our defense competent, to keep our defense average to above average, and hide the defensive liabilities that some of these new offensive pieces are. Well, obviously, since you don't have Jackson Jr. and you don't have Anderson, the defense has taken a step back with the new roster. And overall, that's what it comes down to. As good as our offense is playing, our defense has now become a liability to a level that a lot of times it washes away the effectiveness of our offense. I think last night's game against the Thunder shows that. Yes, we were playing well on offense for most of the game. We were at least playing better than a more talented Thunder roster. But when the Thunder became engaged, the talent took over. They were easily able to slow down our offense, and Russell Westbrook was able to do at will what he wanted to against the Grizzlies' defense. So, in general, as I mentioned earlier, I think that this weekend really helped to further establish an understanding of where this team is, what the identity of this new roster is. It is an offensively focused roster, one that's concentrated on guard play. A lot of times you're seeing the Grizzlies go to three-guard lineups, and it is better on offense, and it's allowing for us to remain competitive. But as I stated, because of the fact that our defense has taken a step back, you're going to get a lot of game narratives where, yeah, the Grizzlies were competitive. They played well for the first three and a half quarters. But at the end of the day, talent just took over. And what I mean by that is that eventually our offense, as well as it's playing together, it still is made up of you know, role players, and you don't have a lot of elite talent outside of Mike Conley that's on this roster, that's going to eventually be figured out by opposition. And when the when our offense starts to sputter, or as leaky as our defense is, it's going to be hard to overcome. So just in general, I want to compliment the Grizzlies front office. I definitely think they had a plan in place. They executed it, and results show that they did improve the offense through their moves. However, something that they can't control was the injury bug again hitting the Grizzlies roster, and with Kyle Anderson and Jaren Jackson being out, our defense right now just is not strong enough to be able to support any lack of production from our offense. And I think that means that you're asking too much from this Grizzlies team. You're basically, for them to win, wanting them to at all times produce like a top offense in the league. And while they can have stretches of doing that, they're not going to be able to do that game in and game out. And if we do struggle on offense, our defense certainly is going to become more of a significant factor. And at the end of the day, it's still going to probably result in more losses than wins. We certainly want to thank you for joining us today. As always, I will be back tomorrow talk about the Trailblazers game. I'm going to try to get a special guest on to join us for tomorrow's episode as well. But again, this is Sean Coleman filling in for Mark King on Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Thank you, as always, for joining us. You can follow us at Locked On Grizzlies on Twitter. If you want to, you can also definitely check us out at LockedOnGrizzlies.com. And if you'd like to sponsor the show, or you would like to give, you know, opinions, please reach out to us. We'll be glad to interact with any feedback that comes our way. But thank you so much for listening. Have a great Monday, and we will see you tomorrow here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.